Welcome to Forum on WSMI. I'm your host, Sean Bellent. Once again, we are focusing on COVID-19 and the vaccine. The folks over at HSHS are taking on a question head-on that many have asked. Was the COVID vaccine developed too quickly? The vaccine was released in December of last year. Many received it in an effort to keep themselves and those around them healthy in the midst of the pandemic, but as many of you have heard, there's been a stall in vaccinations. The COVID vaccine was released nearly a year after COVID-19 spread into a pandemic. Now, prior to COVID, the record time from lab bench to licensed critical use of a vaccine had been 4 years for the mumps vaccine. Now, doctors over at HSHS Medical Group say the COVID vaccine was developed in record time, but there are a number of reasons for that quick turnaround. With SARS and Zika and other threats, the technology for mRNA vaccine has been around for a decade, and the COVID vaccine is built out of that research. We're talking to Dr. Kate Endicott today, the family medicine doctor based out of Hillsboro. Dr. Endicott urges residents hesitant about getting the vaccine to listen to the science and not all the noise in places like social media.
Yeah, I think that if anything, we are not giving enough credit to the triumph that this vaccine has really, these vaccines have really proven to be. You're right, there's been a lot of a confusion around the vaccines, and as you said, people tend to listen more to the politics than the science. We actually got a quote from one of our physicians in our group, Mark Shelton, who I love it. He said, if we had a vaccine that would not only greatly reduce a person's chance of having a heart attack, but also the chance that their parents and their grandparents have heart attacks, I think 90% of people would take it. What I think is important for people to remember when it comes to vaccines is that the data for these vaccines are reviewed by independent groups. These are folks who have nothing to do with the pharmaceutical companies, experts who have no stake in the vaccine development or making money off of it. And this is how medicine has worked for years, but now it's sort of in the spotlight.
The vaccine developing after former President Trump launched Operation Warp Speed. But Dr. Endicott says it's not a matter of the vaccine being rushed or shortcuts. It simply was something to move forward because there was the need for speed.
Sure. I think that, you know, people are used to hearing about vaccine development taking years, and so it probably caught a lot of people off guard that we were able to get something done so quickly, but there's a lot of reasons for why that was able to happen. So the first part is to just look at the money. Normally, vaccine research relies on grants. People need to apply for funding. These processes take months, if not years. In this situation, you know, we were in a very abnormal situation. There was not a lack of money. Governments around the world were more than willing to put up what was needed to develop the vaccine, so that was wonderful. The other part that was able to make this happen so quickly is that the way they did the vaccine trials, and so normally vaccine trials, the first phase of any vaccine trial, you give the vaccine to a small group of people, and you have to prove that it's pretty good to be able to give it to a lot of people. With different viruses, you're kind of sitting around waiting for people to show up infected to see if they, you know, got the vaccine and it worked, or they got the vaccine and it didn't work. In this scenario, though, we had so many cases of COVID, we were really able to get to those levels quickly to see that it was a vaccine that worked, and so it moved through the trials quicker than other viruses would, surely because we were in a pandemic. We had really, really high levels of disease. Another thing that really helped was people in the community. You know, we had an unprecedented level of patients who got engaged with this. Normally, researchers have a lot of trouble getting people recruited into studies, but we had an abundance of people who were willing to volunteer for this, and we all owe them our gratitude for that. It's kind of a cheesy analogy, and I stole it from the internet, but I'd still like to use it because I've been telling it to my patients. But the way I've been telling people about this vaccine production is to think of what it takes to build a house. You have to get a loan from the bank. You have to hire a contractor, get your supplies, troubleshoot the problems along the way, and then hope that it passes all your codes and inspections. Well, imagine now you go to the bank and they give you a blank check. You show up to your work site, you've got your workers, you've got your materials, and people all saying, what do you need us to do? So the house, or the vaccine, got assembled very, very quickly, but at the end of the day, it still needed to pass all of the same codes and inspections. And so the bottom line is that even though this happened quickly, speed does not mean that it was rushed or that it was sloppy.
There's an age group that may not have much experience with vaccines as an adult. They were too young for the smallpox vaccine. We're talking early 50s on down, and don't routinely get the flu shot. Dr. Endicott says a reaction to vaccine is 100% natural.
Sure. So the common things that we're seeing with these vaccines are pretty common with other vaccines, right? So you mentioned the flu shot, which I would recommend getting annually. The common reaction that people get is they feel a little achy. They might spike a temperature, but then they feel better in a day or two. And people classically tell me all the time that the flu shot gave them the flu, but that's really what they report, is a day or two of symptoms. What they're having is a vaccine reaction. And so, you know, we inject this material into your body, and it's not like your immune system waits till, you know, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to clock in. It starts working right away. So some of those vaccine reactions you can expect and are normal. Some of the more serious things that I think people are worried about are things that should be taken seriously, but they also need to be taken in context. So, for example, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and this concern about blood clots, they are serious events, but we're talking about 1 in a million chance of getting that kind of reaction. For any person who has a concern about their individual health and whether or not they're a good candidate for the vaccine, I would recommend you talk to your doctor. I'm actually kind of astounded the last few weeks how many of my patients have been coming in and aren't vaccinated but also haven't necessarily talked to me about it. They just assumed that it wasn't safe for them or that they weren't a good candidate. And there may be people who we would tell to wait, certain situations where we would say that it's not safe to do. But that's something that should happen on an individual basis with a conversation with your doctor.
Once again, we're talking to Dr. Kate Endicott with HSHS Medical Group out of Hillsboro, a family medicine doctor. And she talks about the continued battle with social media and the speed of information and sometimes disinformation.
So, like you said, you've got a social media which allows information to be disseminated so quickly. I mean, when you think about the amount of vaccine that's been given out, we're talking, I looked the numbers up this morning, 1.3 billion doses across 175 countries. So, you know, you're going to see some reactions. And when, you know, if 1.3 billion people can be on Facebook, you're also going to hear about those reactions too. Again, I have faith in our institutions that monitor the safety of these things. And so, again, Johnson & Johnson was a very good example. They knew about this risk of blood clots in the early clinical trials, and they said, you know, this is something we need to watch. The pause that they took about a month ago is a perfect example of our safety measures in place. You know, we as physicians take an oath first, do no harm. So if we see that there's something that could be causing harm, they paused it, they took a look at the numbers, and at the end of the day, they ended up saying that, yes, this is a very rare, serious side effect. There's maybe certain population that needs to be aware of this side effect, being, you know, women under the age of 50. But by far and large, the benefits far outweigh the risks.
Dr. Endicott talks about some of the frustration when you talk about unused vaccine approaching its expiration date at a time that COVID-19 is raging through India, causing massive death and illness.
It is frustrating, and actually, and it has been my the talk I've been having with people lately. You know, those that are vaccine hesitant. I've heard a lot of people saying, you know, if it works so well and it's good for one person, then why do I have to get it? And it's because of that herd immunity, because this only works if we all opt in together. And if we what we need to do is we need to get community levels to a much lower rate so that you can feel safe going out and going about your normal life. If we don't all opt in, it doesn't work. We're in a race against time. We're trying to get people vaccinated before this thing mutates so that the vaccines don't work. And on top of that, we've got people in our community who, even if they can get the vaccine, they may not generate an immune response. You know, we've got cancer patients, we have autoimmune patients. And the idea is that if we vaccinate as many people as possible, we give a protective bubble around those folks who are vulnerable in our population. And so it's tricky. We are asking individuals to set aside their self-interest and to sacrifice a little bit for the greater good. But that's something we do all the time. You know, we have speed limits for a reason. We have traffic lights for a reason. We have safety measures that we know that we all need to abide by to keep everybody safe. It's frustrating to have a widely available safe treatment and for the, I won't even say skepticism, I'll say cynicism to win out. You know, I think skepticism is healthy, but cynicism is where it becomes dangerous. And so, yes, it is frustrating that we're now in a state where this is preventable. I signed a death certificate last week for a patient who had previously declined the vaccine. This stuff is real, you know, so it is frustrating, but I also don't fault people for having their own concerns and questions. And again, that's why I say, if you're vaccine hesitant or you're leaning towards not getting it, talk to your doctor. If somebody waves off your concerns, then maybe they're not the right doctor for you. But these are concerns that people need to talk about. And I think once people understand the science and the rigor that went into developing these vaccines, they'll feel a lot more confident in their safety.
Well, one thing that stands out with this conversation, usually when you talk about vaccines, there's the pro-vaccine crowd and then there's the so-called anti-vaxxer crowd. There's a different wrinkle with the COVID-19 saga. There are some folks who, again, have concerns about how fast the vaccine seemed to be developed. They would most likely be described as vaccine hesitant. Well, Dr. Endicott says a lot of information has flowed in over the months and weeks since the COVID vaccine debuted.
Sure, it's exactly right. I mean, every day that goes by, we've got more and more data. I got my first dose in December, so that's in line with when most healthcare professionals were getting it. So we've got a large crop of people that are now 6 months past their vaccine. And yes, data is rolling in every day, and it's good news. The safety data is good.
Now, to find out about the vaccine opportunities from HSHS, here's the number to call. Get your pen handy. 844-216-4707. That's 844-216-4707. We'd like to thank Dr. Kate Endicott with HSHS Medical Group for joining us on today's edition of Forum. I'm Sean Bellent saying so long until next weekend when I bring you another edition of Around Montgomery County. And we'll focus on the Montgomery County Bicentennial.